in executing the mandate. Budgetary constraints to expand the mandate is a big one. The new funding model, as per legislative amendments, is required to capacitate the regulator in the future and implement programs successfully and sustainability. So in terms of the capacity that Tokozani spoke about, 19 of the 27 organograms are funded and filled. It's too small for the magnitude of the task as compared to other regulators like NERSA, ICASA, and others in the country. We need to strengthen the regulator's powers within the Act as well as enable a new self-funding model that reduces fiscal reliance. The Ports Act amendments are required to be passed, and of course, this is where it is passed. So this is in line with the Transport Economic Regulation Bill, or in fact the STIR that is being proposed. And this transition will allow for the ports regulator to capacitate itself ahead of the establishment of the new regulator. Because within the STIR bill itself, the ports regulator forms a core part of the STIR that is being proposed. So the new bill, then within that you'd find the section that deals with the transitional arrangements and how the new regulator will be formed, and essentially the ports regulator forms the nucleus of that. So if we capacitate the ports regulator ahead of that bill being passed, then you already create the success that for the STIR itself. In the absence of that, then the STIR would be more or less starting from scratch. At the moment, we have vacancy for three regulator members, but I know that the department has advertised. Nominations process has closed on the 2nd of April for new regulators, and a number of regulator members' second term comes to an end on 31st August. So this process has started. Identified budget constraints, again, as we've said, at the moment, we solely rely on, because the Act itself says this, we can only get money from the Department of Transport, and whenever it has difficulties, it can't necessarily capacitate us to the extent we think is required to do the job itself. The strategic plan and the APP has identified areas where the regulator aims to improve efficiency of regulation. This, however, does require additional funding and to appoint more employees. So essentially, a regulator relies on human capital to perform its functions. We're not a machine-intensive organization. We rely on people, and that's what we need desperately. The ports regulator has proposed and presented the funding model, and it will require the amendments to allow it to collect a regulatory fee from the regulated entity. The amendments, when promulgated, will allow the regulator to sustain itself similar to other regulators that charge regulatory fees and will therefore present some relief to the fiscus and the department's budget. All four core programs of the regulator have been expanded in the new strat plan in terms of service delivery to the maritime stakeholders, and this is why we are asking for additional funds. The regulator has maintained disciplined expenditure, and we have a balance sheet that is sound and stable, but it does require enhancement. So we have not been frivolous with our spending. We have, you know, by far tried to ensure that we remain within this little 23 million to 25 million. And it is estimated that only a 0.5% to 0.7% of the regulated entity's revenue will be required as a regulatory fee in order for the regulator to be sustainable. And this will allow the regulator to expand capacity in preparation for the single transport economic regulator. So with that, honorable members, we thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, there we are. I will start with Honorable Mpanza, Honorable Sibande, Honorable Humsinga. That way, Honorable Mpanza.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. Thanks very much. Thanks for the presentation from the Chairperson. and the CEO and the team. Chair, I just want to check, first of all, on page, there are no pages, but it's the one that talks about, page 5, it talks about the output achievements over the medium term. Your number 1 and number 3, I believe, Chair, that we need to give credit where credit is due, and criticize where it's necessary. The entity has moved from 85% over the years, and in this in the last financial year, 2016-17, they've achieved 100% APP targets, and I think that is commendable, and it shows that it's doable, because we have seen other entities, they are still hovering below the 100%, and we are encouraging them and saying that they must try and improve. So now you are in a leading example to say that it's doable. However, as much as we'll be keeping up the good work, please don't backslide this financial year. Instead, you should maintain your achievement or exceed, because you can still also exit, but we want to commend you on that one. Keep up the good work. Chair, on page 9 and the following pages, I just want to check, maybe the department is the one that's going to ask respond to this one. I was under the impression that entities are getting the same template, whether it's coming from National Treasurer or from the department, but is a similar template. But what I'm observing here, it's a little bit different from the template that we have seen other entities using the format. Here, yours, it's only talking about the annual targets, and those annual targets are not broken down into quarters. It makes it difficult for us to see how were you going to reach those annual targets when there are no quarterly targets that are put in place. Because why I'm raising that, Chair, we have been discussing these issues with other entities, because it was going to help us to see how are they going to be achieving this in terms of how they are breaking it down. Are they going to be using numbers? But most of what I'm seeing here, because it's like you are a supporting, you know, kind of an entity, not actually dealing with the service delivery issues and infrastructural issues. It's more of targets that you cannot put numbers on, because it talks about performance and of the staff. It talks about improving, but because we were worried with others, most of them they put in percentages that you will achieve 25% in this first quarter of the management, 15 with the strategy. Now, 25%, you know, how do you quantify that and how do you measure that? But now, because you don't have this now, we don't know what method that we're going to use, whether we're going to use the numbers kind of or percentage, because then we are able to guide you and say, okay, this one percentage is fine, but do it this way. So I think, Chair, if it's still possible, not that they can go back and come back, but if maybe they can factor that issue of breaking it down rather than just become an annual target and then it ends there. It just jumps from the key performance indicator to the annual target and then it ends there. So you don't know what's the way. Okay, then the other one, Chair, which I think is my last one. Since you are emphasizing this issue of having problems or challenges when it comes to organogram, which is human resource issue, and also the budgetary constraints. Now, I just want to get comfort that even if you have those limitations and those challenges, the targets that you have put, you still believe that you are going to achieve them. Also, you have even said that you'll also be relying on the department in terms of the funds. Now, the question also would be to say, what about if those funds are not forthcoming from the department? And also your targets, I'm sure you're working with other entities that are also dependent on other entities. Now, if those entities are not coming to the party in terms of assisting you to achieve the targets, are we going to have a situation where when you do the quarterly assessments, then you will then be saying to us, hey, the department did not put the money, so we are asking for this target now to be removed, or maybe for us to deviate, and you know, things like that. So, the issue is that how are you going to deal with that issue? Because we do, you know, it's something that you know it's going to be happening. You know, when you're dealing with these things, we don't live by faith. That we hope that in the future the rain is going to rain. You put it because you know that the water is going to be there, whether there's rain or not. Now, I'm a little bit worried because that's where then people then started, you know, failing in achieving things when they knew that these things are going to be not easy to be achieved because they are dependent on the external factors, not factors that are within their control. Thanks, Chair. Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, to you, first of all, I wanted maybe to also to give a shining stars about the achievements in terms of the clean audit from the AGs for 3 years in a row. That's very great. You are making us proud. Chairperson, again then, my first question is that I wanted you to maybe get clarity on in terms of the output achievements over the medium term. Item number 13, in terms of the BBBEE, in terms of the and compliance audit, which is completed for all ports. In your BBBEE, if maybe you can, because you have complied, and also who are your beneficiaries? And then second question, are the beneficiaries include youth and women? That will be my question. And then go further. Chairperson, the issue of the, you see, no matter some people, they can interpret another way in terms of the challenges. That's where you evaluate the strength of the person, the weaknesses and the strength. May you please, I've noticed just a small technical problem, of which to me it caused a problem. Bulletin number 1, 2, 3 from top, and also 1, 2 from the bottom. You said here, the first one on the three on top. Capacity, 19/27, organogram post field. You said this field. But from the second from the bottom, you see, are saying vacancies for 3 regulator members currently. You see, to me, it's a contradiction because you said organogram is field. But now you're talking about the vacancies. Which vacancies? afford a senior post or junior post. Because on top you said they are there, they are filled. And then also, you are speaking about the issue of budgetary constraint, as well as the proposal which you need the strengthening of the regulator's powers within the Act, so that it can enable you for self, for new self-funding model. Okay. Now, my question is that, have you already consulted the relevant bodies or else any proposal for any amendments, maybe in the Act or in the Bill, so that it can allow you? Because to me, it doesn't help to say, I'm hungry, but you don't have any solution to say how are you to get food. To me, you were so quiet about that one. And again, with the budgetary constraint, another thing, somewhere you spoke about that your structure compared to others, this regulator is too small, others are big. But at the same time, you're complaining about the budget. While it's small, although that the budget is equal to your task, may you please take us on board exactly. May you please unpack it so that you can be clear what do you mean exactly when you are raising such points. And then, last one. Chairperson, there is a place where you were talking about the infrastructure. So I wanted to find out something, because my understanding with the issue of infrastructure, I think you are 100% correct, but I wanted to link it with the state of the nation addressed by the President Cyril Ramaphosa on the 16th February, where he spoke about at length about the issue of infrastructure investments, so that we can grow our economy, to create jobs, and to empower small business, and to provide services to our people. What is your take in that regard? Is it talking to that one, or is it a parallel one? In terms of your own, I can't remember which page exactly, but somewhere you were speaking about your own infrastructure. Is it helping us or is not helping us? And then lastly, you were talking about studies, international experience and studies, etc., etc. As a port, are you taking other provinces as well on board? Or are you focusing, I mean, in terms of education, on taking some of the people, like to empower the youth of our country? Or are you focusing somewhere? Because what is happening most of the time, some of the institutions, if it's a national institution, if it's based in Western Cape, they focus on Western Cape only. If it's based on Gauteng, focus in Joburg only, not even in entire Gauteng, but in Joburg only. So how do you, and last one, how do you maybe market yourself? Because the intention, instead of aging with the ideas and the like, is to impart ideas to the young ones in order to fit of the new challenges we are facing as a country or globally. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Sibande, Honorable Humsinga.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the presentation. there are a number of publications that you spoke about that you have worked on and completed, so I would really ask whether you can supply us with those, with copies of those, because it would be most interesting then also to get updated with the newest developments. Then on page 4, I'm really encouraged with the way that you approach this, because I can recall previous engagements where there were suggestions around look at incentives, how competitive are we? We shouldn't lose our competitive edge. These are all remarks related to the fact that close to 96% of all exports from our ports are still done with foreign ships, foreign vessels, instead of our own. So certainly this is all part of getting a bigger stake in terms of the global competitiveness. So I'm really encouraged with the discount structure that you speak about on page 4, also the incentive scheme that you talk about, and most importantly with the port tariff strategy. Which brings me to the fact that from 2016, and I can recall in 2017, you mentioned the necessity to formulate this new funding model, and therefore you worked at and produced a final product in the form of a ports tariff strategy, which you then rely on greatly in becoming financially sustainable and financially self-supportive. And therefore, it's also important in relation to page 18 that you say this needs to be aligned with the National Ports Act. However, I don't see anything related to that in your annual performance plan. So where are the deadlines related to this very crucial element in becoming financially self-sustainable? Because surely if there's pressure to generate a tariff structure that would create the platform so that you can become financially self-sustainable, and an alignment to a national amendment of a particular act, that should be high priority in your annual performance plan. Where is it? Why don't we see it there? I do understand the important role of the Department of Transport, and Chair, through you, I would want to recommend that due to this absence, and due to this very important, the absence in mentioning this in a prioritized form, I would really urge you to consider that this committee strongly recommends that it should be fast-tracked. I'm sure that the ports regulator have done their work, they've produced recommendations, and they've produced the structure, but the Department of Transport now needs to play according to that in order to get them off the fiscus and in a position where they could generate revenue that would put them on a trajectory that would make them proud, because they're doing great work. So, Chair, I would want to recommend that this needs to be prioritized, highly prioritized, and that we apply pressure to the Department of Transport then also to fast-track this, because it seems that the port regulator has done their work and now it's up to the Department of Transport, and sadly we don't see this anywhere reflected in the annual performance plan, which is a sad state of affairs. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Khadere.
No. thank you, Chair. No, Chair. Let me just probably make a request that probably if they can also expand their relationship with other stakeholders in terms of the PTIP, so that at least there can be more incentive that is also provided to the all other companies that are utilizing the localizations, this incentive. But the other thing, probably, Chair, I request that probably the post regulator give us an update probably after maybe the next quarter in terms of the project around the skills development, especially
around the Operation Takis and the flag vessels incentive to support the South African job creation, because it's one of the areas that they also have more important interest in it, because we still need to know whether what are the progress and what is the process in terms of happening in that regard. The other issue, in your I think it's on your slide 11. There's a particular issue that perhaps says engage stakeholders and monitor provision of infrastructure and facilities and promotion of efficiency in the port systems. That particular insertion is not in your APP document. I'm trying to get you to understand why is it not there, or you thought about it at a later stage. What is happening? I tried to look at it, I couldn't find it. One of the other things, probably, Honorable Banza was just raising it, that you didn't reflect in terms of your quarterly targets, and that was the, but I had an assumption that because some of them, you reflected them there in your APPs. So that's why I didn't manage to probably go any faster in terms of that one. But then the other aspect, it's in relation to your capacity, the Okanagan post filled, that around about 8 posts are not being filled. I want to check probably what impact does it have in terms of your performance as an entity. But more, are you intending to fill up those posts? Are you having a problem in terms of engaging with Treasury? Because I know some of the other entities had a problem in terms of they had a moratorium that were given by the Treasury not to fill up those posts, or those posts are not funded. So that you can be able to understand whether still that challenge, you have the same challenge or not, or if you can be able to probably assist you, how do you assist you as a portfolio committee to ensure that at least we help you to deal or fill up those posts, because I think it's very much important that you fill up these posts so that as a regulator, you know, your job can be more simpler to also do those things. And thank you very much, Chair. I must appreciate that, you know, some of these things here, Honorable Mofumadi taught me how to scrutinize this thing. So he mustn't be surprised if I scrutinize seeing gaps here. Yeah, I mean, when I arrived in 2009, he taught me to do this. So I'll make sure that I supervise you to do the correct job.
Thank you, Honorable Khadeba. I will not be talking to the presentation that you have made. It's sufficient for us. But Mr. Kavisa, I just need to check with yourself. Today, Kim Nalwena. Mr. Kavisa, you will pass it? Yes. The National Ports Act of 2005 implores upon, and I would say the minister or the shareholder minister, to corporatize the National Ports Authority. And amongst other things, it says once the minister has done that, assets, liabilities, and da-da-da-da-da, that is chapter 2, will now, once the Ports Authority has been corporatized, any assets that will be coming from Transnet will have to be resident in the Ports Authority, which actually will be able to assist the regulator to have probably sufficient fund to can be able to monitor. Remember, this post regulator is in engaging eight or more ports in the Republic of South Africa with only a mere 23 million that they must be able to really regulate. Where is the process? I'm saying this, Mr. Mufamadi. We said this in 2015 to the minister to say you need to speed up making sure that you corporatize the ports authority so that you can be able to really have things going on. Is the department really disregarding the legislation or disregarding what Parliament has said to them in 2015? Where is progress to date, which actually we should be able to be saying in terms of this that you have given to us as an instruction, this is how far we have progressed in that regard. And to me, I take it that the regulator is unable to grow and do its work to the best of its ability because there are certain portions of the Act which have not been implemented, and it definitely becomes a challenge when it has been enacted. You expect the shareholder minister to be able to do certain things, and those things are not being done. To me, I really take a serious offense, because if you look even in the strategic plan of the regulator, it talks to on page 50. The third paragraph from the bottom, it talks to the absence of the actual corporatization of the National Ports Authority, kind of paralyzes them in terms of them in terms of the regulator executing their task, and I think this is the thing that I'm giving to you. Executive from the Department of Transport to say, it looks like we're just talking, you know, we're blowing whether it's cold or hot air, which nobody takes into cognizance. But definitely we will have to hold somebody to account in this instance. But sufficient to say that most of the issues which actually I wanted to talk to, my colleagues have already really covered me. We would really appreciate if we can be able to send us the documents that we have already developed so that we are able to appraise ourselves with what is happening, and we are able to check as to particularly the self-funding model. How do we now make sure that we assist you to realize that dream, because it's we can't continue deferring some of the dreams that some of the entities are having. And we should be able to say to the department, it looks like you are deferring this dream to become a nightmare because you're not living up to the ideals. I really enjoyed what the minister said to us yesterday when he was indicating that it is important that there are certain things that you can no longer really keep in the periphery. You need to bring everything to the center so that the department should be able to gallop. Is it an elephant or a horse which gallops? I don't know which one. Honorable De Freitas knows very well which one will be able to gallop. But this, the minister has clearly yesterday said to us that he will be looking into a number of things which actually will be able to move the department to be, and in particular I would say, looking into the regulator to be self-sufficient, to be able to do its job, because its job is to regulate. And earlier on when the other regulator was here, I spoke to the challenge that the department is putting the regulatory bodies that are in the Department of Transport, that you can't have regulatory bodies which actually have got little or no money to can be able to oversee what they attempt to do. You're putting them in a precarious situation which actually will lead them into doing some of the things that are not palatable. And I am imploring on the department to say, let's try and reorganize so that the regulatory body, if they are able to generate sufficient revenue, the money will go back to the national fiscus. If they are unable to generate revenue, they will be having money from the national fiscus, which will be able to make them to be sustainable. And I really am pleading with the department to say it can't be that all the regulators really is just meager resources that they are having, and they are unable to do their work to the best of their ability. CBRTA was here, RTA was also complaining about that. We didn't really hear much from RTM, RTMC, but here we are now. The ports regulator is the same things that we are hearing, and I think we really need to be serious if we want to see things going the right direction, because in the end, as South Africa, we're talking about dealing with corruption, but sometimes we push people into corrupt activities because of the things that are not right that we are doing to them. And for them to execute their mandate, we need them to be straight and focused to execute their mandate. Mr. Mfamadi, we'll request yourself and the team to respond to what honourable members have asked.
Thanks, Chair, and we welcome the questions and comments. I would ask the CEO and the CFO, then I'll be last, if there's anything that still needs to be covered. But I'll also want to respond to the last issue that you raised, but probably the department will also, in terms of corporatization, because an issue that has been on the table for quite some time. Mahesh?
Thank you for the questions, honourable members, and thank you as well for the many compliments that we have received. It's certainly humbling that people have actually felt for us and, see the importance of the work of the regulator. I think starting with the first speaker, Honourable Mpanza, the issue of moving from 85 to 100, we will try to maintain. It's sometimes a little bit difficult, but thank you for the comments on that and your commendation. On the template, yes, I think we have been using an old template, but of course in the actual APP, the full quarters are there. So it was all the quarters have been broken down. But I think the issue about targets, it is a little bit different from a service delivery department that says you have to build so many houses or deliver so many things. This is an organization that has basically two products. One is knowledge and one is decisions. The other is decisions. So it has to make decisions on a price for the port system, so tariff, that's essentially what economic regulation is. Secondly, it makes decisions in regards to tribunal cases that come before it to the tribunal. But largely it does studies and analyses on what is happening in the port system, which would inform the decisions that it takes. So the targets are largely about finished products, whether it is a paper, it is a study, it is a decision, and so the targets are not in percentages and things like that. It is largely about things that we are doing and we are writing and thoughts that we are putting on paper, publishing documents, etc. So Yes, I think you said your last point was about emphasizing challenges on the organogram and budgetary constraints. Would we still achieve the targets? What if funds are not forthcoming? We have tried to build some kind of reserve. We do have a small reserve, and we have whenever we find that we are, you know, that our budget is not meeting the requirements in a particular year. Treasury has allowed us and does allow all entities to bring in some of the reserves. Of course, it requires a board decision. So that we can supplement in some cases. So Treasury has allowed us to keep some reserve at least. This is important because we also undertake tribunal cases. People can take us to court, etc. And so we have to have some reserves to be able to cater for unforeseen and unavoidable expenses on cases, etc. So it's not a lot, but we try to always maintain and keep within that. And so you can see from the fact that we have received clean audits that we have been doing a reasonable job on this. We have not overspent beyond our means. So we try to keep it within affordability limits. Honorable Sibande, thank you for your compliment on Shining Star's achievement. For saying that we've made you proud, we hope to continue in that vein. The Triple B compliance audit that you spoke about, who are the beneficiaries, do they include youth and women? The BEE compliance audit, remember we are a regulator, we are doing compliance audits on the port sector itself, on the port authority. So it's not our own Triple B. We are a very small organization. We don't have the kind of money to spend, although within our own targets, internally on procurement, we have always done over 80% Triple B within our own procurement. But the bigger thing that we do is, as a regulator, we look at what the Port Authority is doing. They have Section 56 concessions, Section 57 agreements, they have terminal operators, etc. And so we look at whether they are achieving their targets in terms of Triple B, because that makes a bigger impact on the economy than what we as a small organization do. So our compliance and Triple B studies are about what is happening in the port sector, not about ourselves as an organization. The issue you had on the particular slide about a contradiction between 19 out of 27 posts, as well as the other issue about three regulator members' vacancies. Now, the 19 out of 27 is the secretariat that runs the organization, so the staff, right? The vacancies, the three vacancies were for regulator members, which is like a board. So there's a difference. So we were talking about governance on the one hand and staff on the other side. So that's what that was about. Budgetary constraints, you spoke about regulator powers, the self-funding model, and the question was, have we consulted the relevant authorities? Yes, we have. We have done a presentation to this portfolio committee itself on this self-funding model. We have also consulted extensively with the Department of Transport on this. So they are the authorities, the relevant authorities that we have consulted. And so actually the ball is in their court now, and that would come to Parliament, because it's not, there's nothing more that we can do. We have made proposals. We have drafted changes and amendments to an act. From our side, there isn't anything more we can do, because now it comes to you, and it comes to you from them, not from us. So it comes from our department, which is the Department of Transport. The next one, you said the structure is too small. Is the budget shouldn't the budget be equal to the task? I think in relation to that, we are saying that relative to other regulators, this one is very small. We are working within budget, and the budget is small, but we can do much more if we had a bigger staff, we had a bigger establishment. And in preparation for the Transport Economic Regulator, which is a wider regulator, it makes sense to increase the capacity of the ports regulator in preparation for the stir. And so this is what we are asking, and essentially that's what the thing is saying. Thus far we have managed, we have tried our best, we have cut corners, cut costs, etc., to make sure that we remain equal to the task, and that the budget remains equal to the task. But we are saying that we could do more with a larger budget. Infrastructure, you say, President Ramaphosa and Sona spoke about infrastructure investments to grow the economy, to create jobs. The issue of infrastructure is we're saying that we are a regulator of an infrastructure agency. The National Ports Authority is the owner of the port infrastructure in South Africa, and the 8 ports plus Port Nolloth essentially is what they own, and we regulate them in order to make sure that they are in a position to build infrastructure on the one hand and have sufficient funding for that. The plans that they are making for infrastructure are reasonable and make sense. And so that's the kind of work that we do to ensure that our country is grown and developed, but not at such a high cost that it becomes a problem for our country. So we don't want it to then have so much infrastructure that remains unused and that all the port charges are increased because of that. So it's important to find the right balance. So on the one hand, that they can build the infrastructure. On the other hand, it does not become too much of a cost to the country. And so essentially what we are saying is, and I started off by saying that we have consistently maintained below inflation increases, unlike other major entities in the country, but at the same time maintain the stability and the sustainability of the National Ports Authority so that they could build the infrastructure that they're supposed to build, but without high prices. It's a difficult balance, but we've managed to do it thus far. So yes, we feel that it will help create jobs, and more than that, it's the price that allows a South African manufactured product to be exported overseas, etc., and become competitive. If the price is too high and the logistics costs are too high, then the goods that you are making here in South Africa, by the time they are taken overseas and sold, it's too expensive and no one is buying them. So for us to make sure that South Africa is competitive, export competitiveness is an important thing, because if we are not competitive in our exports and nobody is buying our products, then we lose jobs in our country. So trying to make it cheap, but at the same time trying to build our port system is an important balance to have. And that's what the ports regulator does. Okay, you spoke about the studies, international experience, and are we taking other provinces on board, and how do we market ourselves? So, and which provinces? So essentially we work and we consult across the port sector. A lot of the roadshows we do on tariffs, on methodology, on our studies, etc., happens in all the provinces where there are ports. So KZN, Eastern Cape, Western Cape essentially become, and of course we also consult in Gauteng itself where all the head offices are. So we annually hold roadshows at least in 3 cities every year. So it would be Johannesburg, PE, Durban, Cape Town. So we have consultations in that sense. We also participate in the Department of Transport's Maritime Day events, and these are not necessarily held in port cities. They are held all over in different provinces. So we are also part of those events where we talk about the port system in other provinces besides where there are ports. But we are also part of the PCCs, the port consultative committees, and we go to all the ports, the major commercial ports in the country. I don't know whether we have a lot of funding to go and market ourselves in a big way, but, you know, we try our best wherever we can. Honorable Hunsinger, the publications, whether you could get copies, everything that we do, we publish on on our website already. But, I mean, we can send you the copies, but you're more than welcome to just download it off our website. So all that I've spoken about, you will find on our website, www.portsregulator.org. Page 4, you say you're encouraged by the way we approach competitiveness globally on the discount structure, the incentives, port tariff strategy. Thank you for that. We appreciate it. The new funding model is different from the port tariff strategy. The port tariff strategy is about the port system and how we are reforming prices over the years, over a 10-year period, to achieve cost reflectiveness. The funding model for the regulator itself is a different thing. We've submitted it to Parliament before. We can submit it again, and we've submitted it to the Department of Transport. So there's a distinction between the two. The port tariff strategy is something that a decision that we've taken on how to do tariffs over the next 10-year period or for our commercial ports. So, yes, this issue about whether it should be in the APP, we've had this discussion before when we had it in the APP, and we were advised by this committee to say that once it's out of your hands and it can't be an APP item in your own APP, it should be in the Department of Transport's APP. So I think I encourage the fact that you say that you recommend that the DOT itself fast-track it and take it forward. But therefore, we have not put it in our APP because there's nothing more than we can do. We've proposed the amendments, we've given the documents over, etc. And so it's not us that has to take it over to Parliament. So hopefully the department itself will take this forward. Honorable Hadebe, the relationship with other stakeholders with regard to PTIP. If you download the PTIP document from our website as well, or we can provide it, you'll realize that it's not just us. It is a system where the Department of Transport endorses a particular application if it is within what they have crafted within the comprehensive maritime policy, if it is, you know, aligned to that, if it's aligned to other transport imperatives. And there's also the Department of Trade and Industry that is also part of the decision-making. They will decide whether, in fact, the application for an incentive aligns with the country's trade policy, with their special economic zones, etc., and they would look into that. But you are right that they can also do more in terms of adding other incentives to people who apply for these incentives, and that's within what a DTI policy can allow them to do, but we can't force them to do that. And then lastly, the National Ports Authority itself, within the PTIP system, then has to see whether it is possible for them to put into action or to give effect to whatever is being asked for. So sometimes you could get a request that involves something that they cannot measure in terms of cargo terms, so they can't actually monitor and see whether these things are working or not. So there are essentially four parties within the PTIP that follow up and are part of the approval process. It will be the DOT, the DTI, the Ports Authority themselves, and then the Ports Regulator will take the final decision within the tariff application. You say that the Ports Regulator should give an update on a quarterly basis on PAKISA and the SA flag vessel incentive. PAKISA itself is handled by the department. We are only part of approving, for example, the Ports Authority applications for whether it's dry dock or whatever it is, or ship repair facilities, but we don't actually beyond that, the people who are actually monitoring it is the presidency and the department itself. The SA Flag Vessel Incentive, this is the last year for that one. We will then have to assess whether, in fact, we want to continue that. In the meantime, the comprehensive maritime policy has been published. We will then consult with the DOT on this, whether the nature of the incentive should change or whether, in fact, the SA Flag Vessel Initiative should continue or not. But it's not on a quarterly basis that we see any changes on that. It's an annual thing. Slide 11, the strategic objective, not in the APP. I can see that has been a typo, and thank you for pointing it out. But essentially what stands is the annual performance plan. The issue of 8 posts not being filled, what impact on performance, is there a moratorium from Treasury, etc.? No, I think we've tried as far as possible to fill posts, but it is budget dependent. We have asked for baseline increases. You would see in the next year, not this particular year, there will be a significant change, so we will be able to try and fill some posts because of the nature of the baseline increase we got. The outer year was the most in that MPF period. How can the portfolio committee assist us to do the job? I think, number one, when the funding proposal and the amendment to the Act does reach the committee from the Department of Transport, we would appreciate that you give it your favorable consideration. Chairperson, the Honourable Chairperson, your comments, you're asking whether the regulator can send documents developed. We can do that, I think, beyond the issues about the corporatization, which you have addressed to the department. So I hope I've answered all the questions. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chairperson. Just to emphasize one or two things, I think the CEO has covered almost every aspect of our presentation in terms of questions and comments. But now that I think the department is here and is going to respond to some of the issues, let me just also emphasize that we are a regulator of a monopoly, basically. National Ports Regulator is a monopoly. Is that so?
Ports Authority.
Ports Authority. What did I say?
Okay.
Ports Authority is a monopoly. Now, but in terms of the law, we can initiate investigations. We can't. Even if the ports regulator, I mean the ports authority, is not observing certain key standards or basic standards of CB, BBB, transformational issues, we can impose punishment. I mean, this parliament has just passed a piece of legislation now on the private of POPI, private of protection of private information to the industry, and you must see the kind of punitive measures that they can put in place if the industry or the private sector or the public sector does not observe the rules and regulations of that act. Now, in our case, we don't have that. So in a way, if you're not careful, in a way, and I think the Department of Transport is here, should take this into, in a way, you might actually be dealing with self-regulation. You are dealing with self-regulation, and you know what self-regulation has done in terms of the economy in 2010, the financial crisis. It is because the regulatory authorities depended more on self-regulation of those institutions and relied on the information that came from those institutions. And finally, the whole world imploded economically. So we can't leave the situation like this. We need to find a way to deal with this particular matter. But as we have said, on our part, we can only bring to the attention of the shareholder, and the shareholder must then act. But doesn't mean that we cannot make Parliament, this committee in particular, to be aware so that it can be able to hold the responsible department accountable on those issues. So in a way, even ourselves, perhaps we have not been reaching out to yourselves to help to speed up these processes. Now, the issue of corporatization, Chairperson, and I think the department should also just bear in mind, we are beginning to see a number of cases that are in the tribunal and litigation cases, citing this particular matter to say, have you, as the regulator, brought it to the regulatory, to the shareholders' attention that this corporatization needs to take place. So it's becoming an issue that you cannot ignore anymore. And it may have serious economic consequences moving forward, particularly for the National Ports Authority and the entire government, because it stretches across DPE and the Department of Transport. So we need to look into this. So this matter is either, Chairperson, if we fail to implement the Act, we must then not have the Act standing as it is, because we are not implementing it. Either we amend the Act, we don't have this thing, and we understand. Otherwise, we are unable to deal with this issue on our own. Now, the last point that I would want to emphasize on, because the presentation and the CEO continues to say we are a small organization. We are a small organization in terms of resources allocated, but the industry we are regulating is much bigger. So we are not inherently small. We need, even if it's not me as the chairperson, but moving forward, it is important that this institution is taken serious within the context of what it is actually meant to do and achieve or address in the economic sector. Because there are lots of challenges, and I think as the economy grows, we are going to see more and more expansion activities in the maritime sector, which will require the regulatory environment to be improved from time to time and to be strengthened. So if we are going to look at it from a point of view that is inherently small, we might not actually achieve the objective of what it's supposed to achieve. Now, the self-funding issue, I know, as you have already indicated, that I come from this background of Treasury. And Treasury, by nature, is very conservative. Numbers are important. But when I look at the issue of baseline increment, we need baseline increment to deal with the infrastructure, particularly the administrative part of it. But for general activities for the ports regulator, let the industry, because the industry is there, we are there to ensure that we promote access or equity of access, economic regulation, but to make sure that the infrastructure for the industry is there and it is within a competitive environment. So the tariffs that we appropriate every financial year is meant to make sure that the infrastructure in the ports industry is increased. But we cannot do so and look at the interests of the industry without the industry appreciating the work that the regulator is doing. So leaving the industry is one way of actually alleviating the problems of the fiscals in terms of treasury issues. And I think we really need to we'll appeal to the committee to push forward and look into this matter. precisely because I don't think there can be enough or sufficient resources. I'm sure the committee, everyone that comes here, complains about the budget. But there are other means through which we can actually still achieve the same objectives without compromising the integrity and the independence of the institution. Thank you, Chairperson.
Department.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chairperson, and thank you to the members of the Portfolio Committee for the question that we raised, and I think the ports regulator has addressed all questions that were directed to the ports regulator. And we are grateful. I think the ports regulator is one of the prides of the department in terms of delivery, and their maintenance of a clean audit demonstrates the commitment of the board in particular, and as well as the leadership provided by the Chief Executive Officer of the regulator. We'll be dealing with two issues that have emerged, I think, that require direct response from the department. The first one relates to the need for further enhancement of funding of the regulator. In the presentation of the regulator, I think it has become quite clear that there is no crisis in terms of funding the current mandate that the regulator has in terms of the Ports Act. There is, however, realization that with the growth of the Ports regulator, there are new areas that would be required to be added to making sure that the regulator performs its functions efficiently and is able to discharge fully its mandate. But also, based on the developing trends and challenges faced, there is a need to expand the mandate of the regulator. And that is going to be taken up as we amend the Ports Act. The department is seized with this desire and expectation from the regulator to address the mandate, and I can assure this committee that we have now concluded those discussions with the ports regulator, and we have as well secured the understanding of the National Port Consultative Committee, who is a major stakeholder in any desire to amend the Ports Act. So that consensus and understanding between the department, the Port Consultative Committee, and the Ports Regulator has now been secured, in that there is an understanding that the set of amendments that would be progressed are of a nature that would improve the funding for the regulator. Because within the Ports Consultative Committee, there was somehow an expectation that when we open the Ports Act for amendment or review, they wanted to review the Ports Act in its entirety. And we were careful not to allow that, because at the time the matter was presented to the Port Consultative Committee, the comprehensive maritime policy had not been completed. Now that has been addressed, and there is greater clarity as to how we would manage the overall review of the 2005 Ports Act. But as it relates to the amendments to deal with the funding of the Ports Regulator, those amendments are being taken to Cabinet by June, just before the end of June. They would be in Cabinet, and once that is achieved, then they will come to this House for them to be taken through the parliamentary process. So we can assure the committee that in terms of the business plan of the department, the amendments of the Ports Act as it relates to capacitating the funding elements of the regulator are on the business plan, and we the only priority legislative program of the department, they will come to you before the end of this financial year, targeting that in the end of the second quarter we should be able to present to the portfolio committee, expecting that you would then prioritize these amendments, I think, based on the
hold it right there.
Yes.
You know, you're speaking English here. We don't want to hear English. What you are saying is not even there in the APP of the Department of Transport. So whether it's English or it's abstract, I don't know.
Yes, Chairperson, I've not said that is in the APP of the department. I've said it's in the business plan of the Department of Transport, and it is in the business plan.
You're saying by the second quarter. Immediately when you say by the second quarter, it means I have to quickly run and look into the APP to check. That's why, Kiri, here we are in parliament, by the way, so we don't need to tell things that are not we don't need to say abstracts. Don't talk
So it's not in the APP, but it's an internal document which is the business plan, and we have planned for it. So but in terms of the legislative program of the department, it is one of the areas that are prioritized. I think that's the reality that we are putting here.
How do you prioritize when it's not even there in your second quota APP? No,
So the second, yes. So the second issue that I need to respond to relates to the corporatization of the National Ports Authority. I need to clarify that the corporatization of the Ports Authority has no relation with the funding issues of the ports regulator. And then the second thing that I want to highlight is that in the Ports Act, the ministry that triggers the corporatization is the shareholding minister. And the Minister of Transport is not that minister. It is the Minister of Public Enterprises. So it is our legislation, it is the Department of Transport legislation, but in terms of the triggering of the corporatization, that is the responsibility of the shareholding minister. Who would do that? It would sound like, you know, good English, but I think that's the reality that we are dealing with, Madam Chairperson. So that is the reality. And then I would also like just to mention that there was a mention of the Comprehensive Maritime Transport Policy, and in terms of that policy, there is a commitment to review the 2002 commercial white paper on commercial ports policy. So the department, as early as next week, they will be publishing an invitation for submission of proposals to amend the 2002 commercial ports policy and the port. This is now much bigger scale review of the commercial ports policy. So I'd like to add it there, Madam Chairperson, in the hope that we would, the commitment that we are making in terms of internally, you know, prioritizing these amendments is what the department is taking serious, and we can assure you that it would reach you, I think, in no expected year. Thank you.
Honourable members, you'll come in, Honourable. Did you understand what he was telling us? Probably I need to read to you what is in the strategic plan of the ports regulator. Just that clause which is talking to issues of corporatization. Maybe you will understand the angle from within which the ports regulator is coming from. It reads as follows: in the absence of actual corporatization of the NPA, the regulator operates as if there is an artificial, in quotes, separation of the authority to better approximate the institutional architecture envisaged in the Act. In the authority, in the Act, the authority has, in the most recent tariff applications, that is 2015-2016 tariff application and compliance audit, been audited as a standalone entity to ensure regulatory certainty in every uncertain climate. And the way you're talking, that's why they're saying, I'm a parables. You're talking in parables. If you read this and understand the context within which the regulator is putting it to say, if you corporatize, these are the things that we'll be able to achieve in the biggest or in the thicker scheme of things, you will be able to not talk in parables. Shabisa.
Honorable Chairperson and honorable members of the Portfolio Committee and colleagues from the entity, we hear the frustration that is being communicated to the Portfolio Committee by our entity. We want to say, the period, this is between 2015 and now, is quite a lengthy period, and we needed to get into that space and address it. What we would like to see, looking at the process that has happened up until now, the entity has submitted all the input to the department according to what I'm hearing here, and it's a matter of us now consolidating this thing and get the CS processes through the clusters of cabinet. That is what I think we should be talking about here, and talk about how far are we from here in terms of the clusters, the asset clusters and stuff like that. That's what I think we need to clarify, so that we are on the same page. We are not talking past each other. And also, I would like us to say the issue of submitting to the cluster in preparation for cabinet submission, according to my colleague, this is June. Now, what we are saying, therefore, in the business plan, because the chairperson is correctly putting it that there is no indication of this on the threat plan as well as the APP, this kind of an activity is not there. So, can I request that we provide the portfolio committee with the business plan that talks to this matter, so that we are all on the same page? That is one thing I'm wanting to request. And secondly, let's engage with the entity here and look at how fast we can fast track this process of getting this this amendment in place sooner than later. We might say it will be 2019 or end of 2019 or 2018. Let's see how fast we can fast track. We will do the same as we did, Honorable Chairperson. Remember when you were helping us with the Arto bill? We will also ask the committee to assist us with that so that we fast track this. But insofar as we are concerned, we need to do our level best to make sure that the 2015 and the 2018 matter is being reduced to talk to what the chairperson is talking about, the danger and the risk of not having this kind of act not amended and also having that kind of a vacuum. Chairperson, I don't think you speak English. I want to believe that we are getting now to something that says this is what we are going to be doing and this is what we are going to... And please expect this thing to happen. Mr. Ndul, I think that is what I'm committing here in the portfolio committee, that we need to go back. Let's get that business plan where this thing is housed, finish the committee with the relevant kind of time frames in terms of what is going to be happening in the business plan, work with the entity so that we think from the same hymn book. We don't have to come here and talk past each other. The second one, Honorable Chairperson, the department, like I said, with the road entities, I remember the former ministers were saying we've got 12 entities and there are too many. We need to rationalize, align them. That is the process that we need to piggyback as, together with the regulatory and the entities that are like the port, so that we are in the same page in terms of review the mandates, because all of them, they started long time ago. So we are reviewing all the founding legislation and the mandate of all the 12 entities in the department. We started with roads. So these others are also coming on board so that we review them. So let's piggyback on that process to review what the chairperson has been talking about together with the honorable members here of the poll. But in a nutshell, we will submit and also shorten the period so that what you've spoken to us now, chairperson, from the legislation there, there's no vacuum to that one, because I can understand the risk that we are undertaking and also the loss of revenue from the entity perspective. So that one is going to be handled like that, Honorable Chairperson. I can just ask my colleague so that we are on the same page, the time frames as to when are we submitting this and so forth and so forth and so forth, so that we are on the same page, then we know from here it's kind of recorded, then we go back and submit accordingly. That would be my input, Honorable Chairperson, on this matter. Thank you very much.
You're not speaking English or speaking in parables. But I want to implore Mr. Ndul that if you read the National Ports Act of 2005, Act 12 of 2005, in particular, Chapter 2, it will be able to tell you what are the things that really need to happen and why should it happen. And indeed, it says the shareholder minister, together with the minister who's in charge of the Companies Act, put it bluntly like that. It doesn't say the shareholder minister can be able to do this alone, but it says the shareholder minister in consultation with that should be able to work towards, but must make sure that the Ports Authority is corporatized, and therefore you should be able to appreciate what Mr. Mfamadi was saying and his team, that you're moving towards a situation where there will be litigations after litigations, precisely because it has nothing to do with the finances and what have you. The people who dealt with this act were in their sane minds, and that is why the act is as is. And therefore, we should be able to comply with the act. Was there somebody who wanted to say something before Mr. Mfamadi, CEO?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I think I'm heartened by the comments that Mr. Tlabisa is making in terms of the time frames and the process going forward. And I would like to make a request that I am invited to speak to the cluster and to present on this. And after that, I will report to you as Chairperson to say that we have been afforded that ability to present to the cluster, so that you know that there is progress being made. And so I hope that I am able to report to you on that. Thank you.
Mr. Mfamadi, your last word, sir. Just,
thank you, Chairperson and honourable members. I think I've been covered by and large by Mr. Tlhabiso. And I don't want to create a dialogue because it does indicate that there is no sufficient interaction between the entity and the department. For some of these things, when we came here, we should have been speaking from the same hymn book. But just to say to Mr. Ntuthu, I want to disabuse you of this notion that in terms of the current available resources and the mandate of the ports regulator, there's no crisis. That's a very serious statement. Now, if we say out of 27 posts, conservatively, basically, this 27, and you say I've got only 19, and you say there's no crisis. Now, let me tell you what is obtained into the organization now. Is the implication is that board members or regulator members find themselves doing more work and they interfere with the normal day-to-day operations of management. So you create a crisis in the institution. So I end up having to mitigate and doing all sorts of things between management and board members. So this situation needs to be corrected. So that's all that I wanted to say. I just want to disabuse you of this notion that there's no crisis.
Thank you very much, honorable members. It's been a long day. Let me thank Mr. Mufamadi and the post regulator. I think it's work in progress, and like honorable members have been indicating, despite the situation which is so precarious that you find yourself in, you are able to deliver on the mandate as set up in the Act. And we really appreciate that. We will be meeting with you again, Mr. Mufamadi, tomorrow. Maritime is coming. And you're not coming here to act. Because I don't know if you are acting chief director, something like that. You're acting deputy director. Yeah, we're not doing Hollywood things here. We are in Parliament of the Republic of South Africa. And therefore, we anticipate that tomorrow when we meet with you, you've got really what it takes, because I'm happy because they are tired now. They could have chased you out if they were not tired. that is what I'm really appreciating from them, that they don't have the energy of the horse and the elephant like they had in the morning. So you would be out of here. Thank you very much once more, Mr. Mufamadi. Honorable members, until tomorrow 9:30, the meeting is adjourned.